The Navy has wrapped up a one-year project designed to awaken the service to the need to drive cybersecurity concerns into everything it does. It's now transitioning the lessons it learned into a permanent organization called Navy Cybersecurity.
The enduring organization will be part of the Navy's headquarters staff at the Pentagon, consisting of about 40 people whose full-time job is to make sure the service's acquisition policies, its personnel practices, and its overall culture are all pointed toward greater cybersecurity. Officially, it'll sit within the office of Vice Admiral Ted Branch, the Navy's Chief of Information Dominance and Chief Information Officer, but its policy, budgeting, and oversight roles will extend far beyond traditional IT systems into anything the Navy buys that might have a microchip inside it. In other words, almost everything. The office is meant to carry on the work of Task Force Cyber Awakening, the temporary organization the Navy created last year to force its organizational culture to pay more attention to cyber after several worrisome incidents, including one that compromised the Navy Marine Corps intranet in 2013. On that score, Branch says the task force did what it was supposed to.
The fundamental change that TIFCA made was it made cybersecurity an organizing and resourcing principle where it wasn't before. It also improved our security posture. You know, TIFCA has had an improved the security posture with the remediations that we made from ORT investments and with the engineering and the segmentation work that we have going forward. I think TIFCA has been a great success in cobbling together a lot of different non-parallel efforts and focusing them in one direction with organizational relationships that will be enduring and a clear path for follow-on effort to continue those improvements.
The top-to-bottom scrub the task force undertook over the past year caused the Navy to reallocate roughly $300 million in existing funding to remediate cyber problems on its networks, within its weapons platforms, and in the industrial control systems that keep the lights on aboard its bases. And it's for that very reason that Branch says the Navy cybersecurity job wasn't simply delegated to the 10th Fleet, the Navy component of U.S. Cyber Command. He says the organization needed to have the authority not just to command and control the service's networks on a day-to-day basis, but to help direct its cyber investment priorities.
From an organizing, a strategic view, and a resourcing construct, we just thought that made the most sense to have that tie-in at the resource sponsor level. The pairing of the acquisition chain of command, if you will, and the OPNAV resource sponsor capabilities and functions were key. I don't have any direct tie really into SPAWAR or NAVC or NAVAIR. They work primarily for the Sean Stackley. So in our construct here, I get my guidance both from CNO and from Secretary Stackley. And by doing it that way, here at ESH1, we're able to leverage both sides of that and get everybody in tune and have some command authority or have some levers to have action take place. Whereas if it was a standalone structure under 10th Fleet, they have no ties to the acquisition community.
The new cybersecurity organization will also take charge of the CyberSafe program the Navy launched a year ago. Officials think of it as the modern-day equivalent of the multi-decade SubSafe program the service launched in order to head off any further catastrophes following the 1964 sinking of the USS Thresher. CyberSafe also has major cyber hygiene components in which the Navy hopes to influence individual sailors' behavior, but for now, it's highly focused on ensuring cybersecurity is a key priority in Navy procurement plans. So CyberSafe offices are also being set up in the Naval Sea Systems Command, the Naval Air Systems Command, and the Space and Naval Warfare Systems Command, says Troy Johnson, the director of the Navy Cybersecurity Program.
And we'll be doing kind of certifying events, test drives, if you will, at each of those systems commands, to kind of bless them, to certify them as if both for people and processes, they have all the authorities that they need through the CyberSafe program, but for people and processes, that they have what they need in place to be able to evaluate their own equipment, their own stuff that they're responsible for CyberSafe eligibility or assignment or not.
While those acquisition commands will be in charge of certifying the equipment they're procuring as CyberSafe, the Central Navy Cybersecurity Division will try to ensure they're all doing so with a coherent and common set of guidelines.
Navy, the organizations have different roles. Systems commands, oversee programs for design, build, and test. Type commanders or type TICOMs do current and future readiness. Fleets operate. So 10th Fleet is one of those operators, but for the network. What we do is we provide the money, the policy, and oversee. So we've created this division to synchronize and orchestrate across all these different. Cyber is different than other areas. You know, it's okay to say you handle the ships, you handle the subs, you handle the what. Cyber affects all those things. So we need an orchestrated approach across all these different areas. And so that's the reason we created the division. So at Echelon 1, that's the function of the division.
For instance, Branch says the new division will need to guide Navy decisions about when and how to apply cyber-safe standards, which are virtually guaranteed to drive up the cost of IT components, because they'll demand very high reliability and rigorous documentation of the supply chain involved in building any piece of hardware.
Just like a nuclear welder, you can go to a nuclear weld on a submarine and pull the records, the objective quality evidence of that weld, and you can know who did it, what his or her background was, what day it was done, and what the material was that they used to put it together. The same kind of approach for CyberSafe and components will be necessary in some components. Part of the effort will be identifying the cyber system level, which talks to the role of that system in the mission of the ship, and then the cyber system grade. It talks about, is commercial off-the-shelf suitable in this instantiation, or does it need to be, no kidding, a cyber-safe component, as I described?
In the context of warfighting systems, the Navy's using an analogy from the SubSafe program to redesign its networks. Just as ships are designed with the ability to close watertight hatches to contain flooding in the case of a hull breach, the Navy wants to be able to segment its networks in such a way that parts of it can be isolated from others if a ship is headed into hostile cyber territory or under an actual attack.
We have damage control conditions, X-ray yoke and zebra, and that is increasing levels of watertight integrity or battle readiness in a ship. For your watertight door on that submarine, you know, it the maximum condition of readiness should close off all those compartments and make the ship as compartmented as possible. In cyber-safe conditions, we'll have an ability with networked systems to do that same thing. So we'll be able to preemptively segment networks and have admittedly less connectivity but less vulnerability too. So you could do that for a period of time in a certain situation if you felt you might be either attack was imminent or you might be ready to engage in combat of some kind, and then restore more network connectivity as the situation allowed.
Branch says he also expects the new division to play a major role in the upcoming changes to the Navy Marine Corps intranet. NMCI has already undergone major changes in the past 3 years as it transitioned from a contractor-owned network to a government-owned one under the Next Generation Enterprise Network contract. Navy officials say that fact alone has made NMCI more agile in adapting to the government's cybersecurity demands. But last month, the Navy released a request for information in preparation for a new competition for vendors' right to operate the network. The next round of contracts could involve multiple vendors operating different NMCI enterprise services rather than the winner take-all model the Navy settled on for the first NGEN contract.
You know, the whole concept behind Next Generation Enterprise Network was to be able to parse out services and capabilities and get the best value. Clearly, cybersecurity has value. And so the offering that comes in with inherently more cybersecurity will be able to expound on that aspect of their offering.
And while Navy officials say the first phases of the new cybersecurity organization are heavily focused on physical objects and IT services, the new division will also be paying a lot of attention to user behavior across the fleet as the organization matures.
CyberSafe goes to a cultural change in the Navy. I mentioned the analogy to damage control and every sailor being responsible to do their part to make the ship more secure in damage control or be able to fight through a casualty in damage control. On the same hand, every sailor has a responsibility to make the network more secure and to do their part and not do something, frankly, dumb. Resistance to phishing attacks, those are learned behaviors. You know, you have to know it's a training issue, and we have to train the force in what those common vulnerabilities, those common human-induced vulnerabilities are. So all those things go into this change in culture, hinging on one, recognition of information as a warfighting domain, and then recognition that the network is a weapon system in that warfighting domain, and that every sailor, everybody that touches a keyboard or touches a piece of electronic networked equipment is part of that fight. So, you know, as we move down this path, that's a piece of CyberSafe, and that's something that will be forcing the education down into the unit level.